You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting to our program again on another Saturday afternoon to our program called Raising the Standard. And my wife's here with me, and our dear sister Margie Sweeney, one of the elders in our church, is with us as well. So we're honored to be with you on this hour on the radio. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we do offer CDs, and all we ask for would be that you would ask the Lord how much, send in a love offering made out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here again on another Saturday afternoon with you, all of you. And we want to raise the standard in the body of Christ, don't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And Margie, we want to see it raised. It's
yes.
Going down. We want it to go up, up, up.
Thank you, Lord.
We want it to go up and not down.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk about some things here today. We've been doing this for several weeks about manifestations, but the Lord kind of took me another way this week as I laid around and prayed and thought about some things. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit. And there's a lot in it. You know, Paul wrote this letter. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 and part of chapter 6. But the key thing is, you know, there must have been a lot of sin in that Roman church. You read Paul's letters that he wrote to the Roman church. I mean, it was incredible how bad things were. And he was trying to get it all turned around so they would understand once they were born again that they weren't walking in that place anymore, that they were a new, not a creation, but a new creature in Christ Jesus. All the old things passed away, and they were doing new things, and that's what God wants us to remember. So as we open up, we ask you to remember those things for yourself, that we don't want to live in sin in any way, shape, or form, because that's going to hinder us. And so we thank you for the life-giving blood that you that Yeshua shed on that cross so many years ago, that wipes away, doesn't just cover them, it wipes away our sins as far as the east from the west. And we can walk with you, Lord, and we can trust you. So we're honored to be here with the Lord and all you listeners. Many of you listen every week, and then some of you just might be for the first time. So we welcome you to the program as well. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon to 1. I want to greet Roscoe and Audrey Walks, our apostle and prophet over on Andros Island in the Bahamas, and the money's coming in to get that roof done, and we've been talking about that for months, and Roscoe's getting close, and so we love them both. They're doing an awesome work for the Lord there on Conch Sound. What a wonderful street, huh? Conch Sound. So they took a conch shell, drilled a hole in it, and they made it, it sounds like a trumpet, like a shofar. And so they go up and down that street, and they blow that thing, and they're praying all the time, and so we thank God for their prayers, and we will continue to pray for them. If you're led to give anything at all to finishing that roof and getting that building completed for Roscoe and Audrey Walks on the Temple of God on Andros, when you make out a check to us, send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's here in Stuart, and the zip is 34995. We'll make sure they get every penny of it. Write it on the check, what it's for, and we'll make sure they get it. Amen. And they will be blessed, and so will you, because you're being obedient to God. So hallelujah. We're glad to be here. How about you, Pastor Donnie? You got something to share real quick here?
I'm glad to be here, too. How about you, Miss Margie?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We're here on the Sabbath.
Yes, we are.
Which is Saturday.
Amen.
Amen. I also want to say that we do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Amen.
If anyone would like to come out and celebrate the Sabbath, so we can say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. And that just means Sabbath peace. Amen. God wants us to have peace, and he wants us to honor the Sabbath. So we do that every Saturday at 2 p.m., and we meet at the Alliance Church. It's a little white church on Osceola Street. It's 445 Southeast Osceola Street, right next to the near the hospital, right there by the hospital. You can't miss the little church, the Alliance Church. So 2 p.m., if you'd like to come join us, we'd love to see you. And that we thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life and in our lives. And we thank the Lord that he's the Lord, the Lord of all.
That's
so
right.
We are trusting him for many things. And we just want to bless him. I want to give the telephone number, Pastor Gene.
Okay.
It's area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. And I also want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Yep.
And we also are thanking the Lord for what he's doing on that island and building the church called the Temple of God. And they also celebrate the Sabbath, and they can also hear this radio broadcast over there by way of Facebook. We're on Facebook, actually. You can go and listen to us and see Pastor Gene on Facebook and watch this again if you like. Amen. Or you can listen to it again on podcast on WCNO. Praise mm-hmm. God. And also, Pastor Gene, you were saying that if somebody would like to help us with the radio program.
Absolutely.
It costs us $165
a week
for an hour every week. So if you'd like to help us with that, we would certainly appreciate that. And you could mail that check or to the address that Pastor Gene gave you. That would be Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. And you could just address it to Spirit of Prophecy. Amen?
Absolutely. It's right.
So we're going to be in Romans chapter.
I'm going to do some reading in 5.
And
we're going to go into 6. And this, I'll tell you, the more you read these half of chapter 5 and all of chapter 6, it just shows you what we have and the responsibility that we have with the Lord mm-hmm. to when we come to him to do the things that need to be done and to glorify his name and to be a light into the world. And here we are, you know, we're getting ready to go into the month of Tammuz here pretty soon. I think today, if I remember, is the 25th of, what month are we in now? Sivan. We're getting ready to go into the month of Tammuz. And Israel's had so many terrible things happen to them during the month of Tammuz. So there'll be in a lot of prayer over there as well, remembering those things. And then right after we get through Tammuz, we come to a month called the month of Av. And we know if you studied your Bible or ever heard it taught, the temple was torn down in 586 B.C. on the 9th of Av. Hundreds of years in the future, in 70 A.D., on the exact same date on the Jewish calendar, the 9th of Av, the temple was destroyed again by the Romans. And so God's about ready to build it. But the key
thing... Well, let's make a declaration.
That's right.
That on the 9th of Av this year, we will see something happen.
That's right.
And even I believe that even our president, President Trump, will be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all, those of you who are praying for Israel, and that's why we have, one of the reasons we have Shabbat on Saturday, because we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
That's
we
right.
believe that God is fulfilling all prophecy, and we need to keep our eye on the news and what's going on in Israel, because that is the key. That's the key to everything, to unlock all of the prophecies that are in the Bible. So I declare that something
yes.
will happen, and we will see it. We will see it. We'll hear it on the news that something will begin to happen, that a declaration will happen. Something will begin to happen on this year on the 9th of Av.
Hallelujah.
Because like you said, throughout history, and we're not going to talk about the 9th of Av today, but throughout history, things have happened all down through the years on the 9th of Av having to do with the Jewish people.
That's right. And some people even believe that Trump's going to have something to do with rebuilding the temple there.
I believe it's quite possible.
Here he is. He's moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. A lot of people didn't like that, but it should have never left. That's where it belongs. So he's doing some things and moving toward that. And so we thank you for our relationship, Lord, with Israel and America. And thank you that we got a president that cares about them, and they have a good relationship with each other. So Amen. You can keep that one in prayer also. Amen. So let's go to chapter 5 of Romans. And there's some things we need to read here, because this church must have really been a mess after Paul was there, of all these letters that he had to write. And Romans is a pretty long book. I'm going to start in verse 12 of chapter 5, and we're going to read some verses to set us up for what we have in chapter 6. Here we go. Paul, by the Holy Ghost, says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Well, who was that? That was Adam, wasn't it, when he failed? "And death by what? By sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And one scripture says what? We've all missed the glory of God.
Yes.
Well, what's the glory of God? It means we have failed to show his reflection out into the world. Verse 13, "For until the law," or the Torah, "sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there's no law." That's what the Torah was all about, to tell people how terrible and dreadful sin was. That's the purpose of it. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Well, who's the one to come? He's talking about Yeshua. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." Hear that? "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more," listen to this, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." And we've, in this room, we've all received him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we've been set free from all that. Verse 16, "And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification."
Amen.
Somebody's calling us already, Pastor Donna. For by one man's offense," this was Adam, "death reigned by one. Much more," I love this, "much more," say that,
much more,
"they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one." Who gives us that? Jesus Christ, it tells us right here.
Yes.
Verse 18 is very powerful. "Therefore, as by the offense of one," which was Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation." We would have been condemned, wouldn't we?
Yes.
"Even so, by the righteousness of one," Yeshua, "the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Justification of life. So what does the word justification mean? It means that he's declaring us just and righteous because we have Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, in our lives. Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience," this was Adam, "many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," this was Yeshua, "shall many be made righteous." Moreover, Paul says, "The law," or the Torah, "entered that the offense might abound." It would make it how bad it is. "But where sin abounded," I love this, "grace did much more abound." Aren't you glad?
Yes.
"The grace of God."
Yes.
"That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. That's chapter 5. Now we're going to go into 6. And this is going to show some things about our responsibility now, because we've come to the Lord. "What shall we say," Paul says then, "what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What's he say?
God forbid.
"How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So what's this mean? We that are dead to sin, we're dead to the old man,
yes,
the old sin nature. Before we got born again and came to Christ, well, we just did what we thought was right, didn't we, Pastor Donna and Margie?
Mm-hmm.
But now we have boundaries. We have a book before us called the Holy Bible,
yes,
that directs our lives, and we live by that. You know, everybody read that book, A Purpose-Driven Life. I've told people many, many times, my purpose-driven life is in this book right here in front of me. This is it. So, hallelujah. So we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Now, verse 3, "Know ye not," Paul says, "that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So they had water baptism. What was it all about? You know, they had already come to the Lord. It shows an inward work that God had done in their hearts when they went into the water and they came up what? Washed clean, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. And that's what happened when we got water baptized. If you haven't been water baptized, you need to seek getting that done. Don, I was baptized in the Jordan River. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead, listen to this. This is really key. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead, this means physically, by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. We're talking about right here on this earth right now. We can walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we have, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Don't that get you excited?
Yes.
It tells us in John that we're going to see him as he is one day, and we're going to be just like him.
Amen.
Well, that's exciting to think about that. Mm. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man, the old man, what's the old man? The old nature, the old sin nature, yes, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Because see, when we serve the old nature, we're a slave to that. Yes. We're going to find out as we read this as well. And we don't want to be a slave to that. Now, verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So we're all in this room right here. If we all died right now, we couldn't sin anymore, could we?
No.
Because our body would be useless. For he that is dead is freed from sin. In verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, because there will be a resurrection someday. There will be an accountability someday for our life and what we've done.
Yes.
Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He only died one time. Death had no more dominion over him, or we could say no more control over him. For in that he died unto sin, what? Once. Remember, all the sin was put on him. He never sinned, but the sin was applied to him. As John the Baptist saw him that coming at the baptism when Jesus got baptized, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world. I'm going to read that again. For in that he died unto sin once, only one time. In that he liveth unto God now. Huh? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Oh, shoto kosan daraba. Yes. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here's the key part now for us. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. We don't want it to control ourselves, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So when it means it reigns, it means it's going to control you. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members, your hands, your speech, anything, all the physical things that we have, as instruments of what? Unrighteousness.
Yes.
Unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your feet don't go where they used to go. Your hands don't do the things they used to do. And, you know, we think about the five things that God gave us about, you know, breath and all the things we could talk about that we have in our physical life. They can all get us in trouble, can't they? And our eyes, our ears, our senses gets us in trouble. So that's what he's talking about, to bring those unto righteousness unto God. Now, verse 14 is a key verse. Now, Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion. Well, what does dominion mean? It means to rule or control us over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We're not under a system that perverted the Torah into a form of legalism. You know, the Jews started off a certain number of commandments. As the years went by, the rabbis kept adding things to make sure they kept these other things that God gave. And so we have a bunch of commandments that are all legalistic things and they're not in the Word of God. So he said, we're not under that. We're free from all that. And in verse 15 says, what then shall we sin, Paul says, because we are not under the law, but under grace? He says, God forbid. Amen. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, here's this word about dominion, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But look at verse 17. But God, don't you like the buts? But God, be thanked that ye were, here it says that ye were, this is in the past tense, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing on this program. We want to raise the standard. Hallelujah. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. We needed to read that twice. Being then made free from sin, the sin element, the inherent nature, ye become the servants of what? Righteousness. We want to do things like God wants us to do. Remember when Pastor Donna got saved and she had this vision one day out in the backyard, and God showed her and spoke a scripture throughout of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and here's the key part, and his righteousness, and what? He said all the other things would be added unto her and to us as well.
Thank you, Father.
Verse 19, I speak after the men of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, the weakness of it. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Here's this word iniquity. You know, we talk about three types of sin all the time. People think you just say sin is sin. There's sin, transgression, and iniquity. Might just spend a moment on this. You know, we all sin and miss the mark. I used to like to go out to the range and shoot my rifle, and I wanted to hit the bullseye. Well, sometimes I missed it, so I missed the mark. So we all do that. Aren't you glad we got an advocate with the Father? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. And then the second one is called transgression. That means you know the Torah, you know what this Bible says, and you go out and do it deliberately. And a lot of people do that. That's a dangerous place to be in. And the worst one of all is the word iniquity. It means you're taking the word of God and you're going to twist it to suit what you're doing, to make you think with your conscience that you're okay with God and you're not. In fact, while I'm thinking about this, I'm going to go over to Peter. I can't remember whether it's first or second Peter. I want to read a scripture to you here. See if I can find that real quick. Hallelujah. Mondoroko sandaraba. Yeah, it's in 2 Peter, I believe. I'll find it here. I didn't mark this in my Bible, but hallelujah. I'm still in 1 Peter. I didn't go far enough. Here we go. All right. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Listen to this. Peter says, wherefore, verse 14, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now listen to this. As also in all his epistles or his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand or to be understood. And we have a struggle sometimes understanding even today, don't we?
Yes.
Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Here's the word W-R-E-S-D. It means to twist or to pervert, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Isn't that terrible when you think about it?
Yes.
Verse 17, ye, therefore, all of us, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Amen?
Yes.
So back to Romans chapter 6. Where did I stop at there? Did I read verse 19? No, but I want to read it again if I did. I read it, but I'm going to read it again. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto what? To holiness. That means being set apart. And when you are the servants of sin, when we serve sin, you were free from what? Righteousness. You can't have both.
No.
Verse 21, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed. For the end of these things is what? Death. Death. But now being made free from sin, aren't we glad? From the controlling principle of sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now, verse 23, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there's a lot we could talk about in that.
Yes.
Right, Pastor Don and Margie?
Yes.
So, whatever. You got something, Margie? You want to share it with that? Go right ahead.
Okay, praise the Lord.
I mean, there's so much meat in this, you could go on. We have to release ourselves to God and not allow our physical members, these senses we have, to get us into trouble.
Amen.
And we got to be careful with that. And if we could get rid of our eyes and our hearing, we'd probably be a lot better off because we wouldn't see all this. But we live in this world, and it's a fallen world. And what do we have out there? A lot of major sin, you know, abominations, things that God hates. Our politicians are voting things in place that should never be done because it's contrary to the Word of God, like this thing about women's right to take a baby from their womb and kill it and all this. This is the kind of stuff that God hates. And we know that he hates sin. So we have two things we should hate, sin and who else? Ha-Satan,
yes.
the devil himself. Glory be to God. So we want to walk in righteousness.
Father.
Go ahead, Margie.
Amen. Thank you, Father. So Pastor Gene has read chapter 6, and I'd like to read verse 1 and 6 and 22.
All right.
Again.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Father. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So after we are born again, do we continue just to keep acting the way and doing those things that are unpleasing to him?
That's right.
God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might.
That's an if, isn't it, huh?
Be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
That henceforth we should not serve sin. We should have that unction to serve the Lord and do what's right.
Amen.
And in verse 22, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life.
Yes.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The more we understand the pain and suffering that our Lord and Savior endured on the cross,
yes, Lord,
for our sins, the more we will desire to walk and live in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 5.
All right, we'll turn over there.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a good chapter, isn't it?
Yes.
Go right ahead, Margie.
In verse 15
mm-hmm.
through 17.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. Oh, in 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us.
Whoa.
Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him
yes.
which died for them and rose again.
Thank you, Lord.
Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after
the flesh. Yes.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Thank you, Lord.
When we enter into his covenant of being born again, if we can go to John 3.
Okay.
Being born again. What is that? There might be somebody that might be listening for the first time and hearing being born again.
Some people don't understand that one either.
No, I wasn't. Where I went, I that was never taught to me.
Yeah.
When I went to church. John 3:3.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Father. Jesus answered and said unto him. Well, there was a man of the, I'll start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus,
mm-hmm.
a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God.
Hallelujah.
Be with him.
That's right.
And in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The old life is gone.
Yes.
We begin desiring to be like him. There is an unction in our spirit from the Holy Ghost to take his hand and walk his path for our new life and do his commandments. In the first covenant, in Exodus 24,
mm-hmm.
3, 7, and 8.
Okay, Exodus 24.
Yes. This is the first covenant. Thank you, Lord.
And it has not been done away with.
No, it hasn't.
We just don't do all the legalistic aspects of it, but the spiritual part is still there.
We learn and we glean.
That's right.
And Moses came and told the people.
Where are you at? What verse?
Oh, Exodus 24.
Verse what?
3.
Okay, I got it.
Thank you, Father. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord hath said will we do.
Yes.
And in verse 7, And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient.
Too bad they couldn't kept that, huh?
It was very difficult for them.
Yeah.
And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So there he was making that covenant.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. A blood covenant.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Made by sprinkling blood of a clean and spotless animal.
Yes.
The new and final and perfect covenant.
Yes.
Our only high priest that died once for our sins. And Pastor Gene had shared that earlier. That we may live with him in his kingdom for eternity.
Hallelujah.
And
what a great promise.
It is a wonderful promise. John 3:16. We can all say that one.
Yes, we can. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
Son,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, verse 17 is important, too.
Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
That's right. Into the world to what, Bob?
To condemn the world, right. But
yes.
The world through him
might be saved. That's right, boy.
Amen. It's a gift from God through Christ our Lord, our Messiah, our soon coming King, bringing us back to himself, showing us just how deep is his love for us. And as the Bible says, it's a free gift.
That's right.
And he gave us the ministry also, Pastor
Gene, sure did.
Of reconciliation.
Hallelujah.
Bringing and leading others to Yeshua. Thank you, Father. As the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away.
Yes.
And yes, are become new.
New.
And with this being a babe in Christ, one might think, oh boy, no more problems. Perhaps our old style lifestyle protected us mentally and even financially. Some of our lifestyles, you know, affected us. If I still have time, if I could go back to Exodus 23.
All right. We'll do
verse
that.
30.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. So as we come to the Lord makes us free.
Sure
we
does.
We become new creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But Exodus 23, verse 30. I'd like to read this. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. So as we apply this to ourselves, God doesn't, he removes things from us when we are born again.
That's right.
But there are still things that are
hanging
that
around,
may be deep within us, and we don't acknowledge it. Because as we read the word more and more, he reveals things to us that are not pleasing to him. And the Bible says that if he was to undo this all at once,
we couldn't handle it.
We could not handle that.
That's right. Basically tells you that in verse 29 there, doesn't it?
Amen.
I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year.
Amen.
Lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee.
Yes.
And verse 28 talks about the natural things, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. So those are pictures of the demonic realm.
Yes, it is.
And so he's, you know, we come, we don't have everything removed the moment we come to the Lord. We may think we have, but many people struggle with it after they become born again to get completely set free from a lot of their past and all that. And that's where it comes to yielding to God's promises in the Word of God. The answers are all right here in this book we're holding.
They are.
They sure are.
And the more we dig into the Word, the more that we can see the things that need to be removed.
That's right.
And so we yield. We yield and we ask Him to please take that, those things that are not pleasant.
Help us to agree with the Lord to get it removed. Amen.
And I remember as a child, I got a real deep, big splinter in my foot. I poked, I dug deeper and deeper to get it out. I didn't seek my parents' help. I thought I could do it myself. It was painful until finally I had to tell my parents, and they took it out. And you know, Yeshua is the same way. There's things in our lives that we're wanting out. But, you know, if we don't come to Him, it'll just keep festering and festering. And that's not good to do that. Yeshua wants to take out our deep splinters that we have of our past, our old ways. Jesus wants to set us free
in every area,
our past, and our pain.
That's right.
As our parents had a godly responsibility to protect us and show us the right way, so our loving Jesus must correct us so that we stay on the good path. Do I have time for one more, Pastor Gene?
Donna's got the clock. I don't have it. She okay, honey?
Go ahead.
Okay. In Hebrews 12, if we could go there.
Okay.
Hebrews 12, 1 through 6.
Okay.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
Yes, Lord.
And let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. Be willing, and teachable, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Father, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint. Thank you, Father, in your minds.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Father. Thank you, Father. And in verse 5, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord,
yes,
nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father.
Read the next two verses, too.
Okay. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you.
That's right.
As with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not
illegitimate
sons.
That's right.
So allow the Lord to do the work that he needs to do.
Amen. Praise God. That's very good, Margie. Amen. I'm thinking about going back to where Pastor Gene was in Romans chapter 6.
Okay.
And just a couple of things, because you talked about sin and iniquity.
Yes.
And it says there that, we are, for sin shall not have dominion over us.
Where are we at here now in 6?
I'm just going to kind of jump around, because okay. I know you read a lot of it. 6:14.
Okay.
Have not dominion over us. But why? Because we are under grace.
Yes.
We are
right.
under
We're
grace.
We're not under the legalism of the
but
law.
But there's nothing wrong with the law, or the law. Another word for the word law is Torah. There's three different types of law in the King James Bible, and one of them means the Torah. And so when many times when the people read the word law, they don't realize it's meaning the Torah, because the Torah is good. Amen?
Amen.
It says here also in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the iniquity of your flesh.
Yes.
For in our flesh, there's no good thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to what? Righteousness unto holiness.
Holiness. Yes.
And Paul says that the word is holy.
Yes.
He says the word is holy. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 12.
Yes.
He says, wherefore, the law is holy. Now,
the
that
Torah.
Word means Torah.
Right. The Torah is holy.
The Torah is holy.
Yes.
Isn't it, Pastor Gene?
Yes.
And you've taught that a lot. There's nothing wrong with the Torah. And many Jewish people that are really serious about God, they do a Torah every year. They read the entire Torah, which is the first five books
from beginning to end,
the Bible. They are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Torah. It says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandments
holy.
So God hasn't destroyed the commandments, just like we talked about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is on Saturday. But we worship every day of the week, don't we?
Yes.
And just and good. So the Torah is good and just.
It's righteous and good for us, right?
It's good for us. Amen.
Read verse 14 now.
14. Well, you want me to skip 13?
That's right. Just read 14, then you go back.
Okay. It says, for we know that the law is...
Or the Torah is
yeah. spiritual.
Spiritual.
But I am what?
Carnal.
Soul unto sin.
Yes. So what's a carnal person, Pastor Don, if you're born again? It's someone that's not spiritual.
Means
you're just carnal. We've got a lot of Christians who go to church every Sunday, and they think that's their answer to get to heaven. It's not. They got to obey what God's telling them to do and walk it out with him.
Yes.
That's the spiritual side of the things that we have in the Torah that God put in place. Look at all the commandments. You don't steal. You don't commit adultery. You don't cheat on your neighbor. You don't lie. You don't do all these things. So those are important things. So we take the spiritual side of the Torah and we apply that to our life, not the ceremonial things. You know, we don't sacrifice animals and all that. We got our sacrifice. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he's on the right hand of the Father. He's our intercessor, and we thank you, Lord, that you're there. You know what our weaknesses and our infirmities are, and you're there on our behalf. You're a ready help in time of need. So we stand with you. You gave us this entire book, not just part of it, but everything belongs to us today. And all the commandments that you gave, Paul even said that in Corinthians, that all the commandments for you and I as a believer in Christ is yea and amen.
Amen. Well, chapter 7, verse 6 says, but now we are delivered from the law. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a different law, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the law of sin and death. That being dead, wherein we were held there once, that we should serve in newness of spirit.
Yes.
That's right.
And not in the oldness of the letter.
That's right.
Then he says, Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin?
God forbid.
Yeah. So because now this law is the Torah. Mm-hmm. Is the word of God sin? God forbid. No, it's not. He says, I had not known sin but by the law. See, if we don't know what's right and what's wrong, it's like teaching a child. If you're not teaching them right from wrong, if they know what's wrong, they're going to know it can be sin.
Yeah, you go down a little bit further, and Paul makes it quite clear. Until he read the law, he didn't know what covetousness meant until he found out about it in the Torah.
For by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had mm-hmm. said, thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know the Ten Commandments. We know that it says, thou shalt not kill. But what are we doing in our country?
Yeah.
Killing many, many, many thousands of children, babies. They're not just a thing or a fetus. No, it's a child. The moment it's conceived in the womb, it's a child. And we can see all the protesters that are going out around our country. But we need to pray, and we need to thank the Lord that our president believes in life.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. And I did read verse 12. But, you know, if you would read verse 6, 7, 8, you know, and you can go on. And there's so many things about the law. Verse 14 in chapter 7 says, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now, we just read about being spiritual, didn't we?
Yep.
Over there in 7:6, the newness of the spirit. Mm-hmm. So it says here, the law is spiritual. But Paul said, I am carnal, sold unto sin. So the law there is the Torah. It's spiritual. So we can say the law is spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. There's so much here that we can read and we can see, because a lot of people have a misunderstanding of the law. Verse 16, it says, I'm just going to read part of it. I consent unto the law that it is good. The Torah is good.
And it means you're in agreement with it, yeah.
And it's good for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's healthy. It's good for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And 17 tells you what Paul went through, you know. He was a great saint. What does it say? Now then is no more that I do it. What? But sin that dwelleth in me. That old man's hanging around all the time, and we got to slap him down, keep him out of the way. But he pops up from time to time with our old ways, and that's the hard part.
Well, some people teach that this was before Paul was sin.
Before
he got saved. He's written many things about the Lord before this part of this Romans 8 comes along. So here we say, where did you just read, Pastor Gene?
Verse 16.
16. Okay.
And 17.
And 17. Verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh.
That's right.
Is there anything good in your flesh?
No. Nope.
Is there anything good in your flesh, Bob?
No.
Margie?
No.
Pastor Gene?
No.
Pastor Donna? No.
Nothing.
We know that.
Yes.
Nothing good dwells in our flesh. See, no good thing.
His will was present with him. But some things that he did, he didn't want to do, and he did it anyhow, didn't he?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. he's telling you what was behind it all.
Yes.
19 says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Don't we all make mistakes, and we're sorry for them afterwards? Maybe we say something.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe we do something.
Thank mm-hmm. you for grace.
We thank you. That's right. We have that grace.
Yes, Lord.
For now, if I do that, I would not, It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
That's the old man hanging around.
The old man, the old nature. We have to overcome the old man and the old nature. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Now, that's not the Torah.
No.
The law, I find then a law, a controlling principle of some things from the Torah that people get into with legalism, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law. Now, this law here in verse 22 is the Torah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
But I see another law. Here's another law. It's not the Torah. It's a controlling principle in my members, warring against what? The Torah of my mind. He knew the Torah. And bringing me into captivity, what? To the law, or the controlling principle of sin, which is in my members. He goes through all this, and I like the last two verses. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve what? The Torah of God, the law of God, but with the flesh, the Torah, the controlling principle of sin. And then he says in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. And I think we should continue going reading that. For the law of the Spirit is life. It's life. That's the Torah. In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That law is not the Torah.
No, that's a controlling principle.
For what the law could not do, that's the Torah, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, through the flesh, it's weak, isn't it? But if you're in the Spirit, it's not weak. Big difference. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, this is very key. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
And that's the Torah.
How? That's the Torah. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the key right there. Who walk not after, we can choose to walk after the flesh, or we can choose to walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is within you. You get baptized, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and you have the Spirit of God within you, and that will teach you and bring you to all truths and give you comfort. Amen?
Amen.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Bob, I didn't know you had that camera on me. Lord, I don't like that.
We think about that verse right there. What element in our human life controls whether we follow after the Spirit or after our flesh?
Okay.
It's the soulish realm.
Yes.
It's the mind. We have to think the right way,
uh-huh.
And that's what's going to help us do this. If we follow after the flesh, well, then that's what the mind wants you to do many times, what you used to do and all that. But the Spirit will say, no, I want you to go another way.
Amen.
Follow after me. Go ahead, honey.
I'm going to ask Bob if he has something he'd like to share. He walked in a little bit late. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded, and we can put the law in there. The law is spiritual, it said. Minded is life and peace. Praise God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God wants us to have his peace. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Bob, did you have something you'd like to say? Or?
Sure. On this same topic, years ago I heard a pastor give a message on Romans 6, 7, and 8. It took a week for him to give it, a week of evenings to do the series.
Done. Yeah.
And he titled it, It Ain't Gonna Rain No More, after a popular song of a leaky house roof.
Yeah.
And sin was no longer going to reign in the Christian's life.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 6:11 says that we are to reckon ourselves dead to sin.
Yeah.
And we do sin. Sin is a constant part of our life. We all fall short of the glory of God, even in our Christian life.
Yes.
And God has made a provision for that, and that is described in James chapter 5, and I'll start reading verse 12 as an intro. It says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And getting finally to verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
It's a red hot prayer. Yes. Amen.
And verse 20, it says, and let him know that he that covereth a sin from error of his way shall save a soul from death.
Yes.
And shall hide a multitude of sins.
That's right. Good.
Well, we're running out of time here. We got about 2.5 minutes. I was thinking about something. Well, we were reading over, somebody was reading in John chapter 3. Something caught my eye for you people that are listening today that may have never given a thought how important this decision is about coming to Christ. You know, we see all these politicians now, and God's out of the equation. But listen to this. I'm going to read chapter 3, the last two verses, 35 and 36. But 36 is the main one. It says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now listen to this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So you listen right now. If you have believed on Yeshua and ask him to come into your life, you have everlasting life. But listen to this now. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now this is the key part. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And so everyone that hasn't accepted Christ, the wrath of God is abiding on them until what? Until they come to the Messiah. So if you haven't made that decision, today would be a wonderful day to say, God, I need you more than my next breath. You're my everything. We've just read all this in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and what Paul wrote about all this. And so I want to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want to have a new life. I want the old things to pass away. I want to start over with you today. And all I have to do is ask you. It's a free gift. Never did one thing to earn it. But Lord, you said we could receive it. We just read that. The wages of sin is what? Is death.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the gift of God is what?
Eternal life
through Christ Jesus, Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Praise
so that's
God.
All you need, and you can go on from there, and you'll know in your heart that if you drop dead today that you would go to the kingdom of God. And we know that it's, the Bible says what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's where I want to be. If I drop dead, I want to be present with the Lord. So we hope you've been blessed with this today. We are honored to be here with you again on another Saturday afternoon, and we've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. So as we close every week, we tell you, you want to give them the phone number again, honey?
772-285-7007. We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. Margie?
Hallelujah. As we close, I tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.